Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is With. Very interesting word, with. Carl Reiner said, "The key to longevity is to interact with other people." The most extreme opposite of this would be something, let me just read you this little deal out of Psychology Today. It said, "Many people struggle with shyness, but a small segment of the population suffers from shyness so severe that it brings about extreme social inhibition. In avoidant personality disorder, extreme shyness and fear of rejection makes it difficult for people to interact socially and professionally. People with avoidant personality disorder may avoid work activities or decline job offers because of fears of criticism from others. They may be inhibited in social situations as a result of low self-esteem and feelings of inadequacy. Additionally, they may be preoccupied with their own shortcomings and form relationship with others only if they think they will not be rejected. Loss and rejection are so painful to these individuals that they will choose loneliness rather than risk trying to connect with others. About 2% of the population, equally divided between the sexes, has this disorder." So far over, literally a disorder. Go to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, the universe is created, heavens and the earth, animals, plants, everything's set. God takes dirt, forms a man, breathes life into him, but he's by himself. And God simply says in verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God said, it's not good." Everything was good up to that point. Now something's not good. "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So he didn't make another man. He made a woman. Thank God for chapter 2, verse 18. Right? Mostly amens from men. But some women think they're pretty good too. So not a good thing to be alone. Now, the enemy in our case is described as a wolf in the scripture. A wolf in sheep's clothing, the way he enters the church to try to take people out. But if you study sheep, flocks of sheep, usually wolves won't attack a whole flock. What are they looking for? They're looking for a stray. They're looking for a sick. They're looking for some kind of sheep that's gotten away from the flock, and the pack can pounce on a sheep alone. And I think we've talked about this recently. You know, I think maybe people think that pastors are immune to this. I mean, there are days when I wake up on Sunday morning, it's warm in my bed, and I'm not by myself in my bed. And the alarm clock goes off, and it occurs to me that it wouldn't be a bad place to stay, right? Now you say, "Well, but you can't. This is your job." So where did you get your immunity? Where did you get your permission to say, "Well, I'm just going to stay here. I don't need to be there"? Because it's really hard to be with if you're not present. And I'll read you some verses in a minute about this, but part of what happens in just in a gathering of a church, and we know you can't, biblically, you can't go to church, but you can gather as a church. And you say, "Yeah, but people come to sing songs and to maybe give a little money and maybe to hear a message and all that. That's why they come." That is not the only reason they come. In fact, one of the main reasons people come is they don't want to be alone. They want to be with other people. They want to connect with other human beings. They realize being alone is not a good thing. And so you may be the connecting person in point, and if you're not here, they go, "Something's missing." Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. And by the way, this is not, Genesis chapter 2 talked about God making a woman for Adam, making Eve for Adam. This is not necessarily man and woman. This is just two. Verse 9 says, "Two are better than one." That's a very interesting statement. One's not bad. It just says that two are better than one. Why? because they have a good reward for their labor. You do something by yourself. I'm not a big fan of going on trips by myself. I'm like, well, what if I see something extraordinary? I got nobody to share it with. Two are better than one. I like, you know, just somebody there to go, dude, look at that. Or sweetheart, look at that. Wow, isn't that amazing? If you're there by yourself, you say, well, I just need some time by myself. I don't need that much time by myself. Because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Look at Jesus, his example in the New Testament. He sends out, there's a passage that says he sent out the 70. All of a sudden there's this 70 number. Why don't you send out 70 individuals and have 70, not teams, but individuals going out? He sent them out how? Two by two. Why in the world would Jesus divide in half his capacity to send out 70 and only send out 35 groups? Because what does the scripture say? If they fall, one will lift up his companion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls. I'm not a big fan of people going on mission trips alone. I don't want to go anywhere in the world by myself. You say, well, why would you have to, the expense and the, you know, take somebody with you? That's more expensive. I don't want to go down by myself somewhere and there's no one there to get me home or me to get them home. You say, well, you're just thinking about you. Absolutely. And I'm quoting scripture. Verse 11, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? You say, well, that talking about men and women? I'll tell you, sometimes that's talking about men and men and women and women. You say, well, what do you mean? There are situations in life when you'll freeze to death, but if you're with another human being and you connect with that person, you say, well, it's just something, it's nothing sexual about it, it's survival. Two people can survive where one could not. Body warmth. And you say, well, I'd never do that. You'd be amazed what you'd do if you're about to die. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So even three is thrown in here, you're better off. So to this point, let me say this. You're not going to do well by yourself. And I've commented on this before. Here's the danger. You say, well, I don't need a church. I'd like to, you know, if anybody wants to be the guinea pig on this, I wouldn't want to pick one actually. But let's just say, you know what? We're just going to ask you not to attend any gathering of any church or anything. You just go be by yourself, you and your Bible, and pray and see how that works out. I haven't seen too many cases where that works out. That is not what's intended. God did not intend for us to be alone. So you say, well, I'm here. Who are you talking to? There are people listening beyond here all over the place. And some of these people listening on the radio, walking, driving, whatever they're doing, are by themselves. They think listening to a broadcast, a bunch of preachers on the radio or whatever, podcast, whatever they got going, they think, oh, this is my church. Now listen, you say, well, who are you speaking to? I'm speaking to the person in the car, whoever this is. This is not your church. If you are not connected to a local body of believers somewhere, then no matter how godly you say you are not living the New Testament Christian life. You say, well, I've looked for a church and I can't find one. Keep looking. Find some gathering of people because there is no scripture to back up doing this alone. It's all about with. Go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to take this too far, but when you become a Christian, that happens to you in a similar fashion. You become with child by the Holy Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that? Jesus physically was inside of her body. Jesus takes up residence in us spiritually when we're born again by the Holy Spirit, okay? So you cannot be a Christian without him being in you. So it's important, and we'll track this along. You say, well, I thought this is about with. In the Old Testament, God was with people. In the New Testament, it gets even better than with. Then it switches to within people. So as cool as it is to say, you know, and I hear this prayer, I don't know who started this prayer, but I hope we figure out a way to get around it. Oh, dear Jesus, be with so-and-so, right? Now, if they're not a believer, that's all you can pray. But if someone's a Christian, you don't need to be praying that he'll be with them. He is not with them. He is in them. Pray for something, the next level. Ask him to do something with the person or for the person that already has him within them, right? He's not going to leave you or forsake you. So you don't have to pray that God will be with someone. I think I know what we mean when we pray that. but it's very confusing for people who think that's all it is, that God is just with us instead of being within us. So keep reading this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. That's the Old Testament prophecy, which is translated, what? God with us. So this is so important. God did not decide just to stay in heaven and good luck on us. He literally knew the only way that he could save us was to be with us, to come down here and his son come, live a sinless life, born of this virgin, sinless life, die on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, here with us to make possible our being with him forever, but having him within us in this lifetime. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. So what's he addressing? Their hearts are troubled. Okay, let me calm your heart. You believe in God, then believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And what is the purpose for receiving us to himself? That where I am, there you may be also. Now, what does that tell me? My Jesus wants to be with me. And he wants to be with me so bad, he came down here to make rescuing me possible, my being saved possible, so that he could not just save me, but that he could be with me in heaven forever. And on top of that, he's there preparing a place for me. And who better to prepare a mansion than a carpenter? Now, let me tell you something that I've observed in my short lifetime. Followers of Jesus end up with people. I'm not talking about religious crazy people, bitter, angry, crazy people. You show me a follower of Jesus, I will show you someone who loves and is with people. Jesus, the night he was betrayed, takes the 11, Judas is bolting. He takes the remaining 11, leaves 8, takes 3 of those guys, takes them a little further. Then he goes by himself, but close enough where he's coming back and forth 3 times. They're asleep. These guys are going to ditch on him in a matter of minutes, and he still wants them with him. He knows they're going to bolt, deny, do everything he's told them they're going to do, and he still needs them. He's a human being, God, man, God, but he wants them with him. You don't have to die by yourself. How are you going to go out? And if you finish that passage where he says, where I am there, you may be also, and where I go, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So a little reminder there, you're looking for the way, the truth, the life. He is that. Go to John 21. John 21, verse 1. So Jesus died, buried, raised to the dead. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Jesus is dead, buried, raised from the dead, is showing up and disappearing, and these guys aren't alone. They're together. You say, well, what do you mean? They stayed together. And in a simple conversation, Simon Peter said to them, hey, I'm going fishing. The hey's added. I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. We're going too. They went out and immediately got in the boat. And that night they caught nothing. And then if you read the morning, Jesus shows up. Together with, don't be by yourself. You'll get in trouble. It's not going to go well. I was not raised this way. My dad did not show me how to have relationship with other men. And now I am surrounded by other men who love me, care about me, and will not let me go down. And if I do go down, they'll notice and they'll ask me some questions. And if I'm in a bad spot, I'm not alone in that bad spot. And if I try to get alone, they'll come after me because they'll know something's wrong because I'm not normally alone. Acts 2. And I won't take too much time on this, but literally when the church is born, Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They stayed together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They stayed together daily. You say, well, that's not possible. They did it. You say, well, that was back then. The Bible talks about encouraging one another on a daily basis. They say, well, what does that mean? It means you have so much relationship, so much connection with certain kind of people that how many times have I sent this text out? I modify it just for my own, you know, flavor. Checking on you, just checking. Checking on you, checking on you, checking on you. For what purpose? To check on a person. I hadn't texted this person in 2 years, and just the other day, I got a prompt to text them and didn't think I'd get anything back, and bam, a response came back. Thank you so much, Mr. Ellis. It really means a lot. So the Holy Spirit knows where a person is. You say, well, are they going to come around? I don't know. That's their choice. But are you so connected and so caring and so involved in what God has for you in your life that you have gotten past yourself to someone else? Now you say, well, I haven't. Then let someone help you get past you, where you can think and care about somebody else instead of just your own stuff. And then this is unbelievable. Acts chapter 4. So Peter and John had been arrested, and they get up to speak. And look at this observation. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. These are ignorant, untrained, uneducated men. How in the world do they have this boldness and this authority? They marveled, and then this observation. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's the explanation. So what is really going to change your life? Being with Jesus. You say, well, I'm educated. That's not going to cut it. I'm a good businessman. That's not going to cut it. I'm a nice person. Good for you. Is your life so transformed, you are so bold, your life is so that people marvel, and the only explanation they could possibly come up with is that you've been with Jesus, and that's who's changed your life. Now you say, well, I thought this was about being with other people. If you are spending time with Jesus, you will find yourself spending time with other believers. It's not possible. There is no way those two things disconnect. Jesus will lead you to lead other believers, lead other people to Christ. You are going to end up with people. Now you think, well, duh. If it's so duh, why are we not duh doing it? Now, if you are doing it, good for you. But if you're not, I'm trying to light a fire here. And if you let the fire kind of catch and engage, you can't even begin to imagine the fulfilling life that lies ahead of you, because it's what he intended. Why did I wake up today? To be what? I'm here for a reason. Why in the world would a merciful, loving God who gave his only begotten son to die on a cross for me, be buried and raised from the dead, to make heaven for eternity with him possible, why in the world would he be so cruel as to leave me down here if I could be in heaven with him? What in the world is he thinking? And if you could see heaven, you'd be thinking the same thing. Why am I here? Ask yourself the question, and you should go looking in scripture for the answer, and I'm trying to give you some of the answer. You're not here just to have a nice day. Have a nice day. You're here to make a difference, to let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. They're going to marvel if it's working. They're going to marvel at your boldness and what's going on, and their only explanation is that person has been with Jesus. You say, well, I'm uneducated. Okay, we got that covered. You got any other excuses? Untrained, got that covered. Uneducated, untrained, spend time with Jesus, you change the world. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll just do a couple more. Thank God these verses are in the Bible, because it's so crazy encouraging. 2 Corinthians 5:6. So we are also confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, again he says. Yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, you say, well, is it about being here or being there? It's about being there with him, but figuring out what you're doing here still and maximizing that till we're there with him, because it's coming. Not to be morbid. People say, well, 100% of people die. That's not true. Even so far, that's not true. You can get chariotted out of here. Doesn't happen a lot. But if Jesus comes back in my lifetime, I will not physically die. I'll be caught up in the air with those who have been asleep already, and we will be with him forever. So I'm kind of semi-counting on not dying, because he gets closer to coming back every single day, every day. Hebrews chapter 10, and this will do it. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Think about other people to stir up what? Love and good works. Not to get you into heaven, but to stir up love. Like, dude, we got to help these people. We got to love these people. We got to care about these people. And good works. Are we doing the right thing? Are we doing what he left us here to do? In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. An old preacher by the name of George Whitefield said this: among the many reasons assignable for the sad decay of true Christianity, perhaps the neglecting to assemble ourselves together in religious societies may not be one of the least.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And he said, well, you're trying to get us here to be a part of this gathering on a Sunday morning. What's the big deal? See, people want to say, well, you think it's all about you. I don't think it's all about me. I think it's about us. And I may not be able to connect with somebody you can connect with. It is impossible for you to connect if you're not here. You say, well, we'll meet them out there somewhere. Is that happening? A lot of times people walk in a place like this and they're terrified. They are terrified. And I walk up and I'm hugging on everybody, and you know, it scares half people away. But maybe they meet you and they're kind of shy and you're kind of shy, and you all give each other that look, whatever that code look is, like, I hate this too, but how are you? And they go, oh my gosh, right? And they go, I'm not by myself. They're not all crazy. This person's terrified like me. And then their heart calms down. If you ever visit our service, you come to Dallas or you're here and you come, you go, wow, you spent 10, 15 minutes just kind of a meet and greet. Like, what is that? It's not random. There are people who don't think they belong. They don't. And I try to meet everybody. I am not omnipresent. I can't meet everybody. I can't have long conversations, but you can. And so you wake up and you show up in order to be with us. And then the Holy Spirit says, hey, see that guy? Go speak to that guy. And then you have a simple conversation and his heart calms, her heart calms. And they say, it's going to be okay. I can tell people all day long that we love them. There's only one way to show that we love them, is if you're here to demonstrate that. It's a big deal. not just in a church gathering, but when it comes in discipleship, and especially when it comes to eternity. If you want to spend eternity with Jesus, you got to get him within you first, or you're never going to make it.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.